We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I'm right about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me shortly is Chris Biederman. He covers the 49ers for the Sacramento Bee, and he was at OTAs on Tuesday. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon. 49ers fresh off the practice field, fresh out of their press conferences. Chris is there, and we're going to talk about it. I think we might get into how Trey Lance looked. It's down the docket. I've got D'Amador and Lenore questions first. Let's get into it.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory! Kittle is gonna go! Touchdown!
Bosa's got him, and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in! Touchdown!
So I'm watering some new plants that I got, and I realized, like, God, this is miserable because I'm, like, dealing with the different, like, I've got a hose that's stuck to the hose connector thing on the side of the house, and, like, I'm dealing with, like, water everywhere, and I'm like, this, and I realized it sucked so bad because it's, like, 97 degrees outside, and then I realized I got super excited because Beat the Heat is back, baby.
Yeah, so I'm
the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, it's great. Especially now, like, my new place in Sacramento has air conditioning and ceiling fans and all of that. I've gone into that before. Super exciting content, I'm sure, for the listeners. But I'm actually back in my old place in Santa Clara, my mobile studio, as I like to call it, because I've been at 49ers OTAs today. And yeah, it was hot. It's 90 degrees on the practice field today.
Ooh.
So your boy took a bath in some SPF 50 before going out there and observed some things. And I realized when I wrote down like who was starting, who the first teamers were, I was like, man, OTAs are definitely OTAs. Like, this is not at all what the regular season is going to look like, but we got to see Trey Lance throw some passes in a team setting. So we can talk about that.
Are the 49ers going to win the Super Bowl based on what you saw today? Chris, go.
Their starting defensive line, Samson Ebukam, Kevin Givens, Eric Armstead, and Jordan Willis, who changed his number to 75, which I feel like is just a bad number.
That's a bad number change. Is he trying to get cut?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's brutal. That's a bad number.
Oren Burks and Trey Greenlaw and somebody I had not heard
of. Okay, there's a couple things I want to talk about real
Curtis
quick.
Curtis Robinson, second-year guy out of Stanford, was a starting linebacker today.
Yeah, I had a cup of coffee with the club last year, of course. The two shocking things there are, one, that Jordan Willis is currently beating out Nick Bosa, and two, that Oren Burks has already leapfrogged Fred Warner on the depth chart.
Right. Yeah, so the big storyline from OTAs generally is who's not there,
right?
And so you had obviously Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel are away from the team. Kyle Juszczyk was not at practice today. Kyle Shanahan said he had a personal matter to attend to. He was there for Monday's practice. Tuesday's practice was the second of the session. So it was the first practice we got to watch, but the second practice that the team had. Fred Warner was there. He watched from the sideline. George Kittle was there. He watched from the sideline and spoke to us afterwards in a press conference. But obviously, you know, there is not a whole lot to take away because, I mean, Ross Dwelly felt like I'd have to go back through because I charted Trey Lance, not to brag. But I think Ross Dwelly was Trey Lance's most targeted pass catcher. Followed up by, I even have to look up the roster so I don't get these names wrong. Tanner Hudson, another tight end. And Tyler Croft. The tight ends got a lot of run today from Trey Lance. A lot of checkdowns. Jamichael Hasty caught the first pass. He was an underdog, in my opinion, to be the first running back on the field with Trey Lance, but Jamichael Hasty was. Trey Sermon caught a pass. Malik Turner, former Seahawk and Cowboys receiver, probably the biggest play of the day with a long touchdown pass from Nate Sudfeld.
From Nate Sudfeld.
Gunslinger Nate Sudfeld, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Quarterback controversy? Who's to say?
Maybe.
No, so I mean, the point here...
How did Trey Lance look? Just get to it.
Yeah, so Trey Lance looked... Okay, so one thing that was apparent throughout last year and watching practices and just watching Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo throw right next to each other. Jimmy Garoppolo threw a more consistent spiral and had a quicker release. But Trey Lance obviously has a stronger arm. He just oftentimes would have a loopier release. He would throw some that would, I wouldn't call them ducks, but they would flutter a little bit, right? Like it was just not a super tight
little
spiral,
little
wobble. And that was still apparent today. And it looked like today his release point was lower. So it wasn't as long. Like it was a little bit lower and maybe a little bit more three quarters ish, which was a little bit interesting. And Kyle Shanahan was not real interested in talking about any specifics regarding Trey Lance's release, but he did say he thought Trey Lance has been going well and or playing well and things have been going well with him these last 4 weeks while he's been in the building for conditioning and things like that. But I mean, what was really most notable to me aside from, you know, watching Trey Lance throw in 7-on-7s was just the way, I mean, Trey Lance spoke to reporters after practice too, and he was much more comfortable and much more relaxed in a press conference setting than he was as a rookie, which is pretty standard, but it's a little bit more notable in this context because, and he didn't answer this question directly, but he's acting like he's a starting quarterback. And Kyle Shanahan said, you know, he still expects Jimmy Garoppolo to be traded. George Kittle alluded to the fact that Trey Lance is taking ownership of the position. Jimmy Ward said that Trey Lance was like a team leader and that, you know, he's like the first guy in, last one to leave, et cetera, et cetera. So those platitudes you hear about football players. But the broad theme here is that, you know, they are operating as if Trey Lance is a starting quarterback. And so this seems like it's full speed ahead with Trey Lance as the starter. And the more this happens throughout the offseason program, the further they go with Jimmy Garoppolo away from the team, the less likely it is that he's going to have any impact on the team, right? Like in, like between the lines, like, you know, if the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan will not answer this question and he wasn't even asked it today, but like if the 49ers can't trade Jimmy Garoppolo, I just have a hard time believing that Garoppolo is going to come in and, if he's on the team, like compete for the job.
Right.
Like it seems more likely to me that the 49ers will eventually cut him. There will be some sort of understanding to where, okay, you're under contract with us. You can throw, but we're going to trade you and or release you. And, you know, you're not going to make your $24 million guaranteed with that. That becomes guaranteed week one if you're on the 53-man roster. George Kittle said he hadn't heard from Jimmy Garoppolo since locker room cleanout day in February.
Jeez.
Which I thought was kind of crazy, given how close those two have been.
And that's really wild.
And maybe he was tongue-in-cheek about it. Maybe he was just like ribbing Jimmy, which he likes to do. But, you know, like there's always been sort of this joke that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't respond to text messages, but like that's almost 5 months, right, since those two have spoken. So like the feeling I got from Kyle Shanahan and the few players we spoke to today and just watching practice, it's like this team is moving on
from Jimmy. You have to.
Yeah, you have to. But and I know we've harped on this a lot, just pushing back on the idea that like, oh, the Niners aren't sure about Trey Lance. It's like, no, they're moving forward with Trey Lance, despite what any pundit or whoever is, you know, saying about the team being unsure and what.
And Shanahan said it today. They're still trying to trade him.
Yes.
Garoppolo, that is.
Nothing's changed. The
injury just got in the way. This isn't a choice for San Francisco. They didn't get cold feet with Trey Lance and decide to hang on to Garoppolo.
Right.
He had an injured shoulder that didn't allow him to be traded.
Yeah. But like on the field, I thought he looked good. I mean, we saw him take a lot of checkdowns in OTAs last year. So like, you know, I thought his best throw was one over the middle. He fit between two defenders, so Juwan Jennings. And Juwan Jennings had a pretty nice day today, I thought. Brandon Ayuk caught a pass. I mean, it was mostly reserve guys. It was, you know, Ross Dwelly, like I said, I'm pretty sure he led the team in catches with the starters today.
My philosophy with OTAs is, does anyone look like a disaster? Does anyone look like, wow, that guy really doesn't belong on the football field here? Did anything like that jump out?
Not from Trey Lance, no.
Well, I meant just kind of from anybody.
Yeah, no, not from, I mean, it's hard to say because like, I don't know what the assignments are.
Sure, that makes sense.
You know, like it's hard for me to look at like Brock Purdy and been like, oh man, just can't hang in 7-on-7s. You know, like Brock Purdy made a couple throws. It's pretty clear like Brock Purdy doesn't have a super strong arm, but you know, maybe he's Nick Mullins and or whatever. But like nobody looked super out of place to me. I mean, what the most notable thing in my opinion was that, like I said, the team feels like it's operating as if Trey Lance is its starter, mm-hmm. and that all those like Pro Bowl guys were absent. Robbie Gould was there.
Wow. That's an upset.
It was definitely an upset. Robbie Gould's typically not an OTAs guy, but he's around.
Probably had a tea time.
I was talking with somebody else about that. I'm like, he's probably playing Pebble on Thursday or something.
Yeah, right, right. He's like, yeah, I'll make the trip up and go see.
Right, right. no, but a lot of backup tight ends and receivers getting catches today. So
neat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's OTAs. He completed 16 of 18, according to my charts. I know other people had different numbers. Sometimes you get in conversations on the sideline and you miss a play here and there, but I had 16 of 18. One of them was, I think, a decent throw to Juwan Jennings along the left sideline that kind of went through his hands. There was traffic. I didn't get a great view of it. But yeah, George Kittle was there. Apparently he's dealing with a lower body injury. Kyle Shanahan would not elaborate, but it didn't sound like it was serious. And Kittle spoke to us afterwards. Didn't seem like anything was the matter there. Same with Fred Warner. He was on the sideline. Trey Lance said something kind of funny, like as he was leaving the podium, Jennifer Lee Chan asked him, you know, who talks the most on the Niners defense to you? And he said, Fred Warner says a lot of the most disrespectful stuff. It's kind of crazy.
That's super funny.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell, like when you watch Fred Warner playing games, he definitely talks more shit than any 49er, I think.
Yes.
And so that's not entirely surprising. Jimmy Ward said something funny because Jimmy Ward, his locker is right next to Trey Lance. And he was giving examples about how those two talk shit to each other every day. Like Jimmy's like, oh, you better not throw this ball to this route because I'm going to be there. And then, you know, Trey will say, well, you know, if you do that, then I'm going to hit the backside, whatever football player jargon they like to use.
Totally.
There's like a healthy
two guys around the water cooler talking football.
But they have a good rapport, right? Like Jimmy Ward's been around. This is, I think, his ninth season, which is
nuts.
It's crazy to think about. Yeah. I feel older and older each year I cover this team. But the fact that, like, the veteran, and the fact that Jimmy Ward, a veteran of the team, a team captain, would call Trey like a leader of the team, like, to me, that's notable, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are my takeaways. Like, the stars weren't there. Team's operating as though Trey's a starter, and just a huge day for Ross Dwelly.
I think that is. I mean, all joking aside about reserves playing and all this and that, I think that's the number one thing that people were looking at, is not so much what did you chart Trey at, but
it's 7-on-7. So charting 7-on-7, right. Like, I understand how ridiculous
he should be completing 16 of 18. Right. Yes. But people are going to ask, people want to know.
Right.
And the bigger deal, you know, 16 of 18, cool. If he had gone 6 of 18, like, now it's a potential problem. Right. But I think just seeing what the dynamic was like. And so you pointing out all those things that point to not only is the coaching staff moving forward with Trey as QB1, but the fact that his teammates appear to be on that page as well and ushering that new quarterback in, like, that's the biggest offseason storyline. And it was one of the biggest things when the Niners were talking about, or when the Niners made the trade and it looked like they were going to get rid of Jimmy, there was, you know, wow, what are they going to do? Everybody loves Jimmy. Look how much people battled for Jimmy down the stretch last year. They all love him. They all were shouting him out on Instagram and on Twitter and in press conferences at the end of the year. How are they going to move on from that? And it seems, again, very early, but in the preliminary stages of the offseason program, it seems to be going fine.
Yeah, I think all systems are go.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
One thing I asked Kyle Shanahan, which I'm writing about for the Sacramento Bee, which will publish at some point this week, I'm sure.
SacBee.com/49ers.
Yep. Kyle Shanahan is obviously known for being one of the better offensive minds in the league. And one of the things that he's really good at, whether it's game planning or just creating an offense in general, is tailoring an offense to a player's skill set. One of the things that's interesting about that is he's building an offense around Trey Lance, who has a very small sample size just in terms of playing. Like, it's very hard to know what Trey Lance is good at because he has not played that much football, whether it's at North Dakota State and obviously only making two starts last year and, you know, playing garbage time or whatever the second half of the Seahawks game was. So Kyle Shanahan, I asked him, I was like, what's your process in terms of creating an offense tailored to your quarterback when you're, when you don't know necessarily what he's good at. And what he said was basically he throws everything at Trey Lance in practice, whether it's, you know, screens or deep throws or, you know, certain formations and certain looks, whatever. He's running the gamut, or he's trying to run the gamut in terms of putting things on Trey Lance's plate to see what sticks, right? To see like what he's good at in order to tailor the offense to it. And so I thought that was interesting. And I asked George Kittle about the differences between like making a quarterback transition in 2017 when George Kittle was a rookie and the roster was a lot worse and everyone was new, and what that was like versus what this is like. And he basically said like, yeah, we have a lot better players now. This is Shanahan's sixth season. He has a much better understanding of how to install an offense and how to get us to run it to the way he wants it to be run. And so that's sort of the process that the 49ers are going through now with Trey Lance, which is frankly one of the reasons why I thought, you know, he should have been getting more reps last year.
Right.
And now, obviously, seeing how the year went out, I understand why it didn't. But the Niners are in a good spot to make a quarterback switch, right? Like, that's ultimately the thing I'll keep coming back to, is that they may not need Trey Lance to do a whole lot this year to run the offense successfully, because I still believe that the 49ers are going to run the ball maybe more than anybody else in the NFL this year. Like, I, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl in 2019, I think they were second in rush rate, like how often they called running plays.
Yeah.
I would expect something similar. And it, if not, it could be even more drastic this year while they get Trey Lance more comfortable. And I think, you know, obviously drafting Ty Davis Price in round three, having Elijah Mitchell, hopefully for them getting Trey Sermon to be a productive player. Like, those are the types of things that lead to them being an effective running team. And then you can build in play action and utilize Trey Lance's arm strength and willingness to throw downfield to really, you know, be the differentiator between what the 49ers offense was with Jimmy Garoppolo versus what it could be with Lance. Right. So,
right.
You're starting to see some of that stuff germinate, I guess, in the very earliest stages. And so that's sort of what OTAs are for. Like, it's May. These are the types of things that are happening. It's not, you know, it, put it this way, to your point, like, yeah, it would be notable if Trey Lance completed 6 of 18 instead of 16 of 18.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, like, it's very early on in the process.
Yeah, like, yeah, you can't draw a sweeping conclusion regardless. But
right, like Trey Lance,
when you're talking about trends,
yeah, Trey Lance could have gone 0 for 20 and say, all right, that was bad, but you still got months to get better. Like, that was the whole thing, you know, in 2019.
Yeah, but it's not
when Jimmy Garoppolo threw 5 straight interceptions in 2019 training camp, it was like, holy shit, that's pretty bad. But then Jimmy Garoppolo turned out to be a pretty good quarterback that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the defense that was really elite. And
right.
And we didn't think about the context of like, oh, maybe the 49ers defense is like really, really good versus like, oh God, the Niners are in trouble. Jimmy Garoppolo just threw 5 interceptions in a training camp practice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So had like had he gone 0 of 20 with Curtis Robinson manning the middle of the field, we could have counted on that Curtis Robinson DPOY season.
Yes, exactly. That's my exact point I'm making.
No. But no, I think your point is a good one. But I think when it comes to, I'm going to use the 16 of 18 and 6 of 18 again. 16 of 18, it's like, cool. Like, he's where he should be. Like, that's about what a quarterback should be doing in 7-on-7 on day 2 of OTAs.
Right.
If he goes 0 for 20 or 6 for 18, it's like, yeah, he's got time to get better, but now the like benchmark is lower.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think just the fact that he, you know, hit your easy throws in 7-on-7, cool. Like, check that box. Does that mean he's gonna be great? No, but
yeah,
and better than the alternative.
There was no pass rush, right?
Right.
He's not really like making protection calls at the line of scrimmage. you know, it was just the most basic level of NFL football that you're going to have. And a lot of the guys that he's going to have in the regular season just weren't there.
Yeah.
So I think take the details with a grain of salt, but just the overarching themes, it's, you know, we talk about checking boxes. This was Trey Lance performed like a starting quarterback in OTAs. You can check that box.
It was a good day to check some boxes. So
it always is in OTAs.
That's a great point. Anything else? Any other?
Charvarius Ward looks good. He had a pass breakup of Trey Lance on one of his two incompletions on a pass to Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings really might be the one who benefits from all this Deebo Samuel drama more than anybody else.
Just with reps,
just a lot of reps. Him and Brandon Ayuk were getting a lot of run today. Yeah,
great.
Javon Kinlaw's skinny. He's not practicing yet, but he looks skinny. He got into it with Grant Cohn. I'm sure Grant will be all over that on social media, but that was a little weird. I didn't see it. I heard the story from Grant, but I'll let Grant tell that story because if I saw it, I'd tell the story, but I didn't see it. So
subscribe on youtube.com/conezone or whatever it is.
Yeah. Did I say who the starting offensive line was?
Didn't. I've been waiting. Okay. I was going to ask.
First team offensive line, because that was a big question mark.
Mm-hmm.
So with no Trent Williams, with Laken Tomlinson now with the Jets, with Alex Mack probably retiring, still not entirely sure. And with Mike McGlinchey working through his leg injury and Daniel Brunskill working through something. Your first team offensive line for the San Francisco 49ers, left tackle, Colton McKivitz, left guard, right, Aaron Banks, who might actually start this year. Aaron Banks.
Okay.
Center was Jake Brendel, right guard, Jalen Moore, might start. We'll see. Right tackle, Justin School.
Oh, he's back.
School's in session. Sorry. Justin School's back.
Just don't listen to this podcast ever again.
School tore his ACL last summer and missed the season, came back to the 49ers. So my take here is that if this is the 49ers offensive line during the regular season, it's going to be problematic. But you're going to get Trent Williams back. You're probably going to get Mike McGlinchey back. I don't know. I honestly have no idea what's going to happen at center. Kyle Shanahan says he's been talking to Alex Mack and he has a good idea of what's going to happen, but he won't say what he's going to let
Alex. He has a good idea of what's going to happen, but like they've not done anything, which makes me think that he's coming back since they haven't really addressed the position unless they love Jake Brendel.
Gun to my head, I don't think he's coming back.
Huh. Okay.
Gun to my head. The way Shanahan talks about it says, I'm going to let Alex, you know, announce what he wants to announce when he wants to do it. Like, you don't, that's not really something that happens.
Announcing his return.
Yeah. Hey, I'm coming back. Like, okay.
What if he issues a Players Tribune Michael Jordan style? I'm back.
I would love that. That would be incredible content.
It'd be really, really strong. Do we think Alex Mack is big in the content game?
I follow Alex Mack on Instagram and I've seen some like quality, like he likes making pizza.
Is he a meme lord?
A meme lord?
Yeah. A big meme guy.
Okay. I don't know what a meme lord is, but I'm assuming that's just a meme guy. I don't think he's a meme guy, but he makes pizza on Instagram and shows it off. Which is good content.
Who among us?
If you're into pizza.
Totally.
Who isn't, frankly? I wouldn't say Alex Mack, based on my interactions, is a meme lord. I can't say that with certainty.
So you're ruling out the potential for him not holding out, but waiting to announce his return via an I'm back statement.
Yes.
Dang.
He's in another country right now, Shanahan said. Maybe he's still on his honeymoon. He got married in Ireland in like a castle. George Kittle outlined the whole thing today.
Oh, good.
It would be nice to just have an obscene amount of money to throw at your wedding.
Go get married in Ireland.
Yeah. George Kittle's like, I've never really been in a castle, so it's cool to be in a castle. It's like, yeah, I guess that would be cool.
That's such a rich person thing to say. I've never been in a castle, so that was cool.
Yeah. I've been to Hearst Castle, but that's the only castle.
Sick.
Yeah. Tourist game. Crazy.
Do you have anything else for us?
I don't.
Any other OTA obs?
Trying to think. I didn't get a good look at who the starting nickel was because I didn't think they did any nickel stuff with the first team.
I'm not that pressed about it. So.
I'm guessing it's Darquez Dennard.
Okay.
I don't know though. I'm not positive. I'm not feeling great about that.
Okay.
Talanoa Hufanga, first team strong safety, was not Tavarius Moore.
Interesting. Was Moore out there though?
He was out there, yeah.
Okay. Moving around okay? No.
Yeah.
Boots I mean, or anything of that?
Nope. Yeah. Yeah. That's all I got.
All right. Same here. Party on. We will continue with OTA updates as they come. We'll continue with the off-season content. So subscribe if you have not done that. If you have a friend that's not subscribed, tell them to do it or you're not their friend anymore.
And shout out to all the meme lords out there.
Dude, shout.
I did not mean any disrespect.
If you have any good memes, send them to me. I love memes.
I was just unfamiliar with the term meme lord until about 5 minutes ago.
You're just not as online as I am, so... Which is, I think, a win for you.
If you haven't noticed following me on Twitter, I really don't like being online.
You have friends and you go outside. You lame ass.
Well, let's not get crazy. But...
Excited to golf on Saturday with you, by the way.
Yeah, we're playing golf on Saturday. I'm sure the listeners love to hear stuff like that.
Okay. Yep. It's time to go.
We'll review it later.
Okay. Goodbye.